Hey there, this is Pastor Philip Steele. This is the Evangelism Course, Bethel School of Discipleship, Session 3. Just want to remind everybody, we talked in Session 1 about the biblical basis for evangelism. It's definitely according to the Bible. It's God's desire that we should evangelize, that we should share the good news. I mean, God's plan for, even from the Garden of Eden, for man to take dominion over the whole earth, and then the promise to Abraham, that he and his descendants would be a great nation, you know, that covenant passed on to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel, and the prophecies about Jesus that would come, that the government would be upon his shoulders. And then when Jesus came, you know, as well, his commissioning, the great commission to the apostles, to the disciples, that we would go and make disciples of all the nations. And that's been handed down to us as well. So if you're watching this video, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you as well are called to make disciples. And that really starts with engaging the lost, with evangelism, which is what we're talking about here. And so we want to encourage you, we want to equip you, train you through these videos. Hopefully this will be an encouragement. And also want to just remind everybody to please do the homework. I mean, like the 2-minute miracle that we talked about in the first session as well, your personal salvation testimony, how you came to Christ. Again, if you have come to Christ, you have a tool in your evangelism tool belt, or in your kitchen utensils, you have something you can use. I almost always use my 2-minute miracle. Just a little bit of how you came to Christ, about 30 seconds, your life before knowing Christ, what were the lies, what were the idols in your life, and then about 60 seconds, how did you come, what was your encounter, what did repentance look like to you, what was your, you know, encounter with the truth, what were the events, bring people into the front row of the movie theater of your salvation, and then about 30 seconds, what changes has Christ made, how has the gospel sustained you since then. So we talked about that. Just want to keep that before you. If you have not practiced that, just want to remind you again, just for your own good, for your own increase in your ability, your confidence, practice it. Write it out, that 3-point outline, the before, the encounter, the after. Write it out, share it with people, time yourself. You know, and again, some people say, well, I would need 2 hours. The world we live in is not going to give you 2 hours. They will give you 2 minutes. So please practice it. And then last time we also talked about the message. You know, a couple different perspectives. One was 4 words. We talked about creation, the rebellion, then the redemption and restoration. Those 4 key words. And then also with Pastor Rice Brooks, the gospel is the good news that God became a man in Christ Jesus. He led the life that we should have lived. And then he died on the cross in our place, taking our place for our sins. On the 3rd day, he rose again from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God. And now he offers the gift of salvation to all those who believe the gospel, turn away, you know, from their sins. And so, you know, that's what we've kind of covered up until now. Today, I want to talk about a tool that we have. This is the God test. This is the paper version, which I like. I do a lot of work in Latin America. Also, there's an app. I think I've got it here as well on my iPad. You can look at it, you know, so you can pull it up. It looks like this. It's available in multiple languages as well, you know, so you can use that however you want to do it. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. But let me get in. First, talk about the SALT methods, S-A-L-T, an acrostic that we use just to describe our process and what we have to do, or what really is a key. And this is a tool or a method or something that really does help us. And I'll explain it in a minute. You know, first, you know, start a conversation. I can remember when I was a student at the University of Minnesota back in the day studying agricultural engineering. The engineering classes were mostly on the Minneapolis campus. The agricultural part was in the St. Paul. So I was always riding the buses, about a 20-minute free university bus ride between the campuses. And I would start a conversation with students, you know, just, you know, hey, what are you studying? You know, just try to get the gospel in there somehow. I would start a conversation. And just with today, if you just open up your mouth and start a conversation, then eventually, I believe it will turn towards the things of God. And there's different ways, you know, I mean, a direct approach, you know, sometimes we go out on campus and we just tell people, you know, hey, we're doing a global survey. It's called the God Test, which it is a global survey. Do you have a few minutes to answer some questions? Now, that's a pretty direct approach there, just getting to issues of faith. And, you know, so we'll get into this God Test a little bit before, or maybe with if it's with a friend. You know, obviously pray for them, pray for yourself, you know, before and after and during, you know, be in prayer for that open door. But just say, hey, you know, we've never talked about spiritual things. You know, do you have a minute? I could just like to, I'd like to find out about your beliefs, about where you are, you know, spiritually. And so you can do that, you know, just directly. Or there might be some personal challenges. When somebody shares some personal challenges that they're going through, as we're recording this, we're in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. Maybe you've gone beyond that when you're watching this now, but there's always going to be challenges. It's like the Lord always allows people to go through even difficult times so that they would seek Him. And we can be there for them and take advantage with the message of the gospel right there. And you'll be able to explain how your faith perspective directly speaks even to their concerns. And so you might even ask them for permission to share the Christian perspective on that as well. If they're having relational problems, if they're having financial problems, the Bible gives answers. Really, the Bible gives answers for all the different aspects of our lives. Maybe not a direct answer, a specific, you shall study engineering, you shall study accounting. Obviously, that's not in the Bible, but there are principles that can guide us as well. You can talk about contemporary issues. Most contemporary issues can lead directly to the gospel. You know, maybe you're in an election period. You know, whether we're deciding on a new president, new Congress, whatever it might be. Maybe it's economic recession, depression, recovery. You know, there's always something going on. If you kind of keep one eye on the news and one eye on the good news, you'll be able to bridge them together with those contemporary issues as well. And so even poverty can bring up the issue of evil and suffering. And, you know, you could ask if you're still in the COVID-19. I think that's going to be a topic for quite a while. What was your biggest challenge during the crisis? What is or what was? You know, I used to ask people at the university, what do you study? It's just an innocent question that way I can find some common ground. You know, maybe if you have children, you're talking to another mother, how old are your children? And so you talk to those. If you're talking to somebody else, you know, some common interest. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's, you know, working out. Maybe it's working on your home. Maybe it's, you know, having children. Or, you know, we just look for that common ground that builds a bridge upon which we can put the weight of the gospel to a degree. Okay, and then number two is to ask questions. And even when we're evangelizing, this tool, the God Test, really it's a set of 10 questions. Beginning with the same first question. The first question is, do you believe in God? And then based on the question, there's a side A and a side B. If they say, yes, I believe in God, then you go to the questions that would be directed towards those people who say they believe in God. If they say no, that they don't believe in God, there's another set of questions for them. In the paper version, you just flip it over and then you go to the other side. Now, in the online, in the app version, it does it for you automatically. The first question is the same and then it goes on from them. And it's just asking questions, and it's not accusing, it's not interrogating them, but it's diagnostic questions that really allows you to identify a person's perspective. It's almost like you go to the doctor, they ask you, why are you here? How long have you had that problem? Is it worse in the morning or in the evening? And they even have you fill out something at the beginning of before you even go in so that they can kind of diagnose it. That way they can find out where the person is. With these questions in the God Test, they're really good questions. I've done it in many different countries in Latin America. And you can find out where the patient is, as we're kind of in that sense, doctors of the soul, spiritual doctors. We're trying to diagnose where people are. And then there's some other follow-up questions. An answer to one question might reveal some important facet of a person, some fact, or, you know, some little detail that you can. And this is just a tool. This is not God. This is not the Bible. This actually doesn't have a message in itself. That's why we're doing, you know, doing this training. And then even challenge questions. Often people seem interested in Christianity, but they do not know how to move forward. You can help them in this process by asking questions which can challenge them to take the next step. We kind of always want to figure out where people are and then help them to take the next step. If the person's not at that stage, you know, if they want to receive Jesus, then you know where they are. That would be their next step. If they're not ready, then you find out where they are. You know, maybe being part of a life group, a Bible study, maybe the one-to-one. It's another tool that we use, a short series of Bible studies. And it seems like there's always some assumptions behind the answers. You not only need to listen carefully to a person's answers, also read between the lines. You know, their body language and what they're saying, their level of emotion as well. An answer which includes a statement that all religions are equally valid may assume that God does not even exist. Or if religion is a psychological crutch, you know, they might have a different crutch. And so you really want to listen to them. And you know, and as we listen, as we ask questions, we really do want to listen carefully, find out their level of confidence, just their level of conviction. You know, it might not even be worth it for you to invest into somebody that's so convinced that the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, you know, you might take a different approach. If they're trying to evangelize you, you really got to decide if you want to spend 5 hours with that person, you know, to try to convince them of something, and they're trying to evangelize you into their faith as well. I mean, you know, you can plant seeds. God will never return. The seed will never return void. And the people's true assumptions often differ markedly from what they think or they believe. A person might say that they believe Jesus died for their sins and the Bible is true. However, they might be attempting to earn their relationship with God through their good works. You know, that's where some of the questions here, you know, we ask the question, and I'll give a demonstration a little bit later, but we ask the question, you know, do you believe in God? How would you describe God? What does God expect of us? And then how are you fulfilling those expectations on a scale to 1 to 10? Do you believe in heaven? Do you think everybody goes to heaven? Do you think you'll go to heaven? Why or why not? And you can see I kind of got those questions memorized because I've done it so much. But when we ask them, do you think you'll go to heaven? Why or why not? You can find out really what they're trusting in. You know, well, I'm pretty much a good person. Well, I go to church. I try to do the best that I can. I've never hurt anyone. You know, and so those are some of the, you know, possible answers. And you can find out what they're putting their trust in, their confidence. And a lot of times it's in themselves. Okay. Another example, a person might, you know, say that they're an atheist, but deep down they really know that God exists. And even on the side of the questions for the atheist, really good questions. Pastor Rice has done a great job of having questions that would cause people to question their atheism. What are the main reasons you don't believe in God? You know, maybe because it's all the suffering in the world. Maybe a lot of times it's because they prayed for their mother, their grandmother, an aunt, and their prayer wasn't answered. And so either God doesn't exist, or he doesn't care, or he's not all-powerful. Or maybe it's because of the hypocrites in the church. They've been damaged in a church situation or something like that. So there's probably a reason behind that. And on the atheist side, we even ask, how sure, on a scale of 1 to 10, how certain are you that God does not exist? And you could tell them that Richard Dawkins, one of the most famous atheists, spokesperson for atheism, said he was a 7. Even he had his doubts about his atheism. Okay, and then number 3, the L, S-A-L-T, salt. You want to listen. You know, the emotional response. Pay attention to the person's emotional response. They will both reveal a person's level of conviction and significant past experiences. And for instance, they might say that all religions lead to God with a heightened intensity even. Their tone might indicate that they grew up in a very conservative church which callously demeaned other religions. You know, so they've had a bad experience in church. And you know, there's a couple things that happen when we just listen. One of them is, as you listen, you're showing respect for that person, and you're gaining the right to be heard. Because if I listen to you, paying attention, not demeaning you, 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Do this with gentleness and respect. Sometimes as Christians, we're always ready, but we're ready just to beat them over the head and tell them all the reasons why they're wrong and they're going to hell, and how could you believe that? And you just want to get into an argument, and we're contentious. But as you listen, respectfully listen, first of all, you're gaining the right to be heard. Like if I listen to you, proper protocol, courtesy would be you would listen to me then. And there's something else that happens. And it's a spiritual, emotional, that as I listen to you and I let you, in a sense, vent, I let you express your opinions. Many people have never had the opportunity to be heard. Then there's a softening of the heart, a preparing of the heart for the message. So I'm not out to win an argument. I'm out to plant seeds. And I truly do want to hear people. I want to see where they're at. Because if I listen attentively as well, I can find out where they are. Because out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth will speak. And so as they speak, as they answer these questions, I'll be able to give answers or to give counter arguments or give the biblical perspective. I don't want to be contentious, but I do want to present the truth in such a way that it will be heard. Proverbs says that he who is wise wins souls. And so if we're wise and we listen, we're gaining the right to be heard. Their hearts are being opened up, and we'll know better how to answer them as well. Okay? Okay, and then we also want to listen to the voice of God. You really do want to listen to God's voice. As you're sharing, you have one ear on them, one ear on the Lord. Even James, the book of James, chapter 1, says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men without reproach. Paul the Apostle in Colossians 4, he prayed, he asked for prayer. He said, pray for me that I may open my mouth and share, and I may share it boldly and share it clearly. I can remember one time in Latin America, we were on a mission trip and we went out to evangelize on the campus. I think there were three of us. I think I was with two sisters. And the one sister, she would share. Maybe I would open up and then the one would share. And she would talk and she would share the gospel, share her two-minute miracle. And the other sister, she was just kind of quiet and she would just kind of hold back. But the whole time, pay attention, she was just praying. And she wouldn't say much, but when she opened her mouth, it would be like a word of knowledge. I mean, it was like God in his infinite knowledge would give her just a little piece of information that she would have no other way of knowing. When you were younger, this and this and this happened, and we all were like, wow. But see, one of them would share testimony, share the gospel and everything like that, and she would be listening to God, listening to the person, listening to God, and God would just drop in her heart a little something. And so as you listen to the Lord, you'll get that confidence and you'll get that ability. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. It's a whole nother class of Holy Spirit empowered ministry and spiritual gifts and stuff like that. But just listen to the Holy Spirit during those times. And then the T of salt is tell the story. Use proper emphasis, emphasize your explanation of the Christian story and the gospel and those elements which the listener most easily comprehend. If the listener is absorbing your explanation, you can then continue with more challenging truths. Incorporate analogies, contemporary illustrations, your testimony. That's just so important. Again, your two-minute miracle. I almost always, I'll share my testimony of how I came to Christ. And because they can't argue with that. They might have arguments about the hypocrites in the church and so much suffering in the world, and we'll try to address those. But when you say, I used to be like this, I had a moment, and now I'm like this, they can't argue that at all. So you want to, practice. Again, practice that. Do it with other people. Even just tell them, I'm in this class and they've given me this homework assignment. Can I share with you? Can you help me? That will increase your confidence to do this. And then also just address any barriers. During your conversation, you will often identify specific barriers. You can respond to these issues during your presentation, or, I mean, don't be intimidated. You might just say, you know, I don't know, but if you're willing to meet me in a few days, I'll try to find the answer. Would you be willing to meet me again in a few days? Because a lot of times those barriers, not so much intellectual barriers, but moral barriers, they really don't want to serve Jesus because they would have to give up their sin. Sin is pleasurable for a moment. You know, and so they put up almost like a smoke screen and they give you this barrier. And so you don't have to know it all. You can just say, hey, I don't know. And you can call me, call another one of the pastors or a spiritual leader, somebody else. You can look online, you know, try to find an answer. You don't have to know right at the beginning. A lot of people are intimidated to do any kind of evangelism because what if they ask me something? I don't have the answer. Yeah, they might. So what? Just share anyway. You're not out to win an argument. You're out there to plant an eternal seed. You know, when I have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God in my hand, I'm not arguing about the existence of this sword. I know that it exists, and I'm going to put it in them. I'm going to plant the seed. They might be arguing, saying that seed doesn't exist, but meanwhile, I've planted a seed in their heart. And when they try to go to sleep at night, they won't be able to sleep because the hound of heaven, the Holy Spirit, is going to be reminding them. Holy Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. So I'll just be bold and just plant that seed and share. You know, if you've got a Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes, you know, I don't know about all those things, about all that, but I do know that for God so loved the world. And you can just share, Jesus died on the cross for you, and He's coming back again. Are you ready? And you can just share, you know, I just don't know all about that, but I do know that one time I was like this, and then I had a moment with Jesus, and He sustained me now. And you can just share that much. And you can just say, hey, would you like to meet again? And if you can meet again, you can share again. And you might have to say again, you might have to say, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. But let me just tell you that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And God shows His love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, so you can just share that. I just snuck those in there. That was the Romans Road, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, and 10, 9, and 10. Or you could just share, you know, I really don't know that, but I know four words: creation, rebellion, redemption, and restoration. Can we talk about that for a minute? And I'll try create in the beginning. And you just start to share what you do know. And you'll see God will do great miracles. Okay, so I'm gonna pause this right now. We're going to come back and I want to show you how to do the God test. Okay, so thanks for watching up until now. Hang tight.
Okay, so what we want to do, we just want to show you a little bit how the God test works. This is my son Joshua. He's going to be with me. Obviously, we're kind of acting right now, but that's okay. I would do the same thing if we were in a live class. I would pull somebody up. I would practice. I just want to show you what it's like. I'm going to be using the paper version. You can use, you know, the electronic version. But I would just say, hey, Joshua, we're doing a global survey. Do you have time to answer some questions? It's a survey about God.
Yeah, I've got some time.
Okay, let's look at this. First question, do you believe in God?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay, now you will notice I'm holding this in such a way that he can see it as well. I'm not doing like this, but I want him to be able to see it. That way he'll follow with me. Okay, so you said yes. How would you describe God?
Someone who's just kind of out there, who maybe created us, but has been kind of distant.
Okay. Anything else? I know it's hard to do, you know, harder than just one word, but any other thoughts?
Big.
Big? Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, what about this? What does God expect of us?
I guess He expects us to be a good person and not kill each other and behave.
Okay. How are you meeting these expectations? Just on a scale of 1 to 10, kind of classify yourself. How are you meeting those expectations? Of
maybe 7 is a good safe answer.
Okay. How about this one? Kind of change the subject, change the topic a little bit. Do you believe in heaven?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think everyone goes?
Not everyone.
Not everyone. Some people go, some people don't. Do you believe you will go to heaven?
I'd like to think so.
You'd like to think so. Okay, next question, why?
I guess because I've been an okay person.
Okay.
I haven't killed anyone or anything.
Okay. Would you like to know what the Bible says about these questions?
Sure.
Okay, let's just go back to this one. How would you describe God? You said he was big. You said he was, like, he created us, but he's kind of distant, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Bible also describes God as, you know, obviously creator. That was a good answer. And then the Bible also describes God as a just judge, that one day he will judge the living and the dead. He's also perfect. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. He's omnipresent. That means he's present in all places at all times. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. I know those might be some big words, but that's just... I mean, it's difficult to describe God. I mean, in one word, obviously, you can't, because there's so many... He's loving. He's holy. That means he's other than us. He's not... I wouldn't say distant from us, because he's obviously in all places at all times. He's right here with us. But he's other than us. He is kind of distant in the sense that he's beyond us. And so that's, you know, how we could describe God. Obviously, we could go much deeper as well. What does God expect of us? And you said that we would be, I think you said we would be pretty much good people and not kill each other. Right? Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments?
I think so, yeah.
There's like 10. Sunday school. Yeah, Sunday school maybe. There's 10, not 9, not 11. But like one of them was, the first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. So we shouldn't put any, you know, our love, our passion for anything above God. Don't make for yourself an idol. Don't use the name of the Lord in vain. You know, like an accident happens or something and we use his name. Or remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. That's the first one with a promise so that it could go well with you. And then you like that one. And then... And then don't murder, what you said, don't kill each other, you know, so that's one of the commandments. And then don't commit adultery, so, you know, sexual relationships. Inside of marriage, that's okay. And Jesus even said, if you look lustfully at a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Don't steal, you know, don't take something that belongs to somebody else. Don't bear false witness. These are the Ten Commandments. You know, and the last one, don't covet. And like, if I had to qualify myself, how are you meeting these expectations? I would say that I would be like a 1 or like a 0, really, because I think in my own life I've violated all 10 of those at different times, different degrees. You know, even the one you said, don't kill anyone. But Jesus said, if you're angry with someone, if you hate someone, it's like you've already killed them in your heart. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty strong, you know. It shows us how God is holy and he is other than us. He's separate from us. Do you believe in heaven? The Bible says that there is a place beyond this life. You know, we talk about passing away. I think a better term might be passing into eternity. You know, there's heaven and hell. Does everyone go? You said no. And I would agree. Jesus said there's a narrow road that leads to life. Few people are on it. A broad road that leads to destruction, to hell. And many people are on that one. Do you believe that you will go to heaven? Like in my own case, I mean, I grew up on a small farm. We would go to church pretty much every Sunday. I'd be in church on Sunday. But Friday nights, Saturday nights, I'd be out, you know, living it up. And when I started school at the University of Minnesota, part of me said, I'm never going to go back to church. That's for the old ladies. But part of me said, well, what about God? What about the things of God? What about life after death? and I started going to a small group Bible study, and I could see that those people going to that small group Bible study, they had something I didn't have. They had a relationship with Jesus, and that's something that I needed. And so one night after the Bible study, I went back to my room all alone about 10 o'clock at night and asked Jesus to come into my life. And at that moment, He really gave me eternal life. He made me go from death into life. And now if you were to ask me this question, do you believe you'll go to heaven? I would say yes, not because I'm a good person, but because Jesus died on the cross for me. He took my penalty. You know, really, God became a man in Christ Jesus, and He lived that perfect, righteous life that we should have lived. And then He died on the cross in our place, in my place, in your place. And He rose again on the third day, really proving that He is the Son of God. And now He offers the gift. It's a gift. We can't earn it or deserve it, of eternal life, of salvation. We have to believe and, you know, turn away from our sins. That's really what I did. I believed in Jesus that freshman year of college. And since then, He's sustained me. He's kept me. And he's you know, there's a song that says, I know He lives, He lives. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. And so really, salvation is a relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, I could say that I've kind of answered both of those. Do you believe you will go to heaven, and why or why not? You know, so that's kind of, you know, those are kind of the biblical answers. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm tracking.
You're tracking. Have you heard that before?
Some of it.
Some of it. Yeah. Any questions about what I've said?
Not yet.
Not yet. Would you, I guess, you know, the question, the last question here, question 10, are you willing to follow Jesus and trust Him with your life?
Think so.
You think so? Because we could, I mean, if you wanted to, we could meet together again. We could, you know, I could show you some more of what the Bible says. I don't know if you have a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, you know, I could get a Bible, or you could download a Bible now. You can get them on your apps and stuff like that too. But we could talk some more, or if you want, we could, you know, pray and you could just receive Jesus right now.
I think I'd like to talk some more.
You want to talk some more? Okay. Could I just pray for you anyway?
Yeah.
Just right now, just pray for you?
Yeah.
Lord, thank You for Joshua. Thank You that his heart is open. I pray that You would reveal Yourself to him in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to cut here, and I'm going to just explain a little bit more what I did, and it's in the notes as well. So as you can see, I mean, that was the God test in action. The God test is a questionnaire. Again, it's available in paper format. These are kind of going out of style. I like them. But also the app, probably the app. And it actually is the biggest global survey about God, because they, you know, these answers can be tracked as well. And so we can find out. You know, I think the God test has been downloaded in over 150 different countries. I'm not sure the exact statistics, but it's close to over a million different surveys that have been done. And you'll see in the next lesson about if somebody answers no to that first question, saying that they do not believe in God. But if, you know, if you just look at this, you'll see that's what I do. What you just saw, that's what I do. I ask people, I go through, I listen to that, you know, to their answers. If you paid attention, I put in my 2-minute miracle. I shared how I came to Christ. And I also shared, you know, that God became a man in Christ Jesus. I used the God test. I used the answer, the questions themselves, to go back and to share the gospel. You'll notice that the second to the last question, would you like to know what the Bible says about these? If he says yes, then that gives me permission to go back over and one by one explain these different things. And then the very last question, number 10, of course, that's to kind of close the deal. Would you like to follow Jesus for the rest of your life? And so you can, if you don't feel bashful, just use that. Just read the question. Okay? And so, you know, on that side B, that's the believer's side, for those who say that they're a believer, they believe in God, in the existence of a supreme being. You know, and this is really the signature question of the God test. Do you believe in God? Now I'm going back to the notes here. And so the dialogue flows. The app does it for you, that based on your first answer, it goes, you know, to either one of those directions. Okay, and then how would you describe God? And you'll notice that I just listen to him. You know, if, as Pastor Rice says, if they say God is a green Martian, oh, that's interesting. Again, I'm winning the right to be heard. I'm listening. I'll let them vent and express their opinions. Because then, you know, proper courtesy protocol would be that in, when it's my turn, then they'll listen to me. There's something going on in their heart. You know, I've done this in multiple countries, and, you know, this is pretty typical, you know, creator, kind of distant, you know, God is, you know, infinite. There'd be, and they're probably right in the one or two answers that they have. Usually they're hitting, you know, one aspect of the many aspects about God. And so I'll just listen to them, and I will affirm you were right. But then I'll also go in, you know, we have some here, creator, and then you have the different Bible verses in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. He's holy. I tried to explain what that means. He said God is distant. I said God is other than us. He's separate from us. He's not distant in the sense that he's in all places at all times, but I didn't say it, but God is distant because of our sin that causes a barrier. God is the lawgiver. He's a righteous judge. God is just. God is loving. You know, and you can look at the Bible verses there as well. And, you know, and I mentioned the omnis, omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, in all places at all times. You know, and there's, you know, this list is limited as well. So, you know, just you can, excuse me, you can add in whatever you want to, you know, biblically, of course. And then question number three, what does God expect of us? And this question uncovers a sense of moral obligation and responsibility that humans, human beings believe they ought to have, a moral code written on their heart. The response, God expects us to keep his law, these commandments I give you. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands. And you'll notice I went through, I asked him, have you heard of the Ten Commandments? One thing I didn't do, I maybe could have, do you know some? You know, so sometimes I'll ask them, can you remember any of them? And I'll listen, and then I'll go through, you know, the Ten Commandments, that law that shows us how we need a Savior. And so it's normal for me to use the Ten Commandments to show people that they have not. And again, it's not a judgmental, it's not condemning, I'm not accusing them, but I'm putting myself, you know, I classify myself as a one or a zero because I have broken all of those, the laws of God as well. And so, you know, you can go through those as well. How are you meeting those expectations? How are you fulfilling? This question will help someone grasp the reality of his or her need for a Savior. And our response, the Bible describes the spiritual condition of humanity. People are separated from God, dead in sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Isaiah 59, there is this, your iniquities have separated you. Ephesians 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. These are some other scriptures that, you know, you can have them handy. If you're using the app, at the end of it where it says, train me, there's these same kind of answers that give you clues of how you can go back through and use the very questions, give those answers, okay? And so the concept of separation from God can be quite unsettling for those with no church background. And so we need to paint that picture. God is love, but at the same time, he's holy. Two sides almost of the same coin. You can't talk about his love without talking about his holiness. Shouldn't talk about his holiness without talking about his love as well. So we want to balance those out. Number five, do you believe in heaven? The reason we ask this question, you're looking for their belief in the afterlife. It is important to understand what they think happens after death. Some people think when you're done, you're dead, you're dead. Other people might believe in a reincarnation. Many people really don't know. The Bible talks about a resurrection unto life for those who have believed in Jesus, resurrection unto death for those who have not believed or have rejected him. Okay, it's question number six, does everyone go there? The reason we ask this question, we want to find out if a person believes that there will be punishment of any kind for things done in this life. If they answer no to this question, they have acknowledged that there must be some form of judgment. Some people have said yes to that, you know, yeah, just kind of automatic, we all just make it up to heaven. I have had that before. And then the Bible clearly says the reality that not everyone will go to heaven. I think I said that there's a narrow road that leads to life, a broad road that leads to destruction. And it's here as well. It's destined for man to die once, after that to face judgment. And so, you know, we cry out for justice. Not all crimes are caught here on earth. And so there has to be some kind of justice. Okay, and then question 7 and 8, do you believe you will go to heaven? Here we're getting more personal with them. We're asking them, do you believe that you yourself will actually go to heaven? You know, not just, is it out there? Does everyone, but you? And then the question, why or why not? I remember one guy, I had him, when we asked, how are you meeting these expectations of you know, God's expectation? He said, on a scale of 1 to 10, he was a 0. And when somebody says that, I know that they realize they are separated from God. That person is closer to salvation than many that would say 7 or 8. He said 7 or 8. I've had in some countries they say 8, they say 7. Those people, when they say that they're meeting those expectations at a high level, it's that pride that has to be broken down even by God's law. If somebody says a lower number, I'll extend God's mercy. You know, so that's, you know, just as you see that, to see these diagnostic questions, they're giving you almost like an x-ray, an MRI of the patient, of, you know, we're trying to win this person to Jesus, but we have to find out where the cancer of sin, where the cancer of idolatry, where the cancer of false ideologies have gone in, okay? And so if we ask these questions to find out where the person's hope is, well, do you believe you will go? Why? Well, I'm a good person. I've never killed anyone. A lot of people will say, I really don't know if I'll go to heaven. Nobody can know. But that's, you know, again, that's where we can share the good news. And here you're about to present the gospel after you ask question 9. Question 9, would you like to know what the Bible says about these questions? Here we're asking for permission to go deeper. At the beginning we ask, do you have time to answer some questions? And then, you know, depending upon, we want to be sensitive, we don't want to force ourselves, we don't want to just get in a preach-a-thon with them. But and this question number 9, then we're asking, would you like to know what the Bible says? And most people, if I have listened to them and respected their answers, they'll say yes. Or maybe if they say no, I can set up another appointment with them as well. And see, I'll pause right there. One of my friends, he rarely makes it to question 6 or 7. He'll pause and he'll share his 2-minute miracle. He'll share the gospel with them. You know, so you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This is a tool. This is not God. You know, depending upon where the conversation goes or one of their answers, you know, what does God expect? And they might just, they've never talked to somebody. They might just want to express all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, just be sensitive to that as well. You notice that I paused after question 9. Would you like to know what the Bible says? Then I went back over. I didn't go into question 10. He wasn't ready. He hadn't heard the message yet. You know, question 10, would you like to follow Jesus? So I hadn't even shared the gospel with him. And in this case, he said he was open to continuing the conversation, which that's fine. Then we'll continue, you know, the conversation. I prayed for him, which I think that was a good move. Few people will reject prayer. And so, you know, so you've started the conversation, you've asked questions, you've listened, and now comes the opportunity to tell the greatest story ever told, the story in the history of mankind. And then, you know, you just gospel of Jesus Christ, and you go back through it again like I did. And now, one thing you notice, hopefully you picked up on, is with this gospel presentation, with this God test, I asked all the questions. I didn't respond to him until he gave me permission at the question number 9. You know, so don't rush into it. You know, how would you describe God? And they say one word, and then you give them systematic theology and all the... Just wait, just listen to them. You'll get your chance. I mean, you'll get your chance at the free throw line. You'll get your chance up to bat, okay? Using sports analogies there just a little bit. So just hang tight, listen to them, ask the questions. Because as you listen, then you're also understanding where they are and their philosophy, ideology, religious beliefs, you know, their kind of journey. So we want to respect that. Okay? And then so we get into the, you know, the gospel there. You've got some scriptures, John 3:16, Romans 5, 8 to 10, John 3:3. And so, you know, just remember, you know, at this point, you should be able to tell whether or not the person you're sharing with is beyond merely being open, if they're really, you know, open, coming into the conviction. And so present the gospel in that kind of a loving way. You'll notice at the end that I asked him, does that make sense? Do you have any questions? You know, and you can ask those. Just be open. Don't be in a hurry to force someone into something. Just, you know, if they need clarification, that would be fine. We can do that as well. Okay, and so, you know, and then if he says yes, you know, believe that Jesus is God's Son. Believe the good news. Turn, trusting in Jesus is turning away from sin, repentance, and following. You know, and so those are some, you can read through this in your notes. I think these are really good. But the biggest thing would be to practice. Just go out and just try it. You know, some of the homework now is to watch there's a link there, the godtest.org, you know, and side B, you can watch Pastor Rice and he'll explain it probably much better than I could ever explain it. And then just try to use the God test. Just try it. The thing is, you just got to get out there and, you know, I've done it in taxis. Obviously, I don't put the person to, you know, but I know the questions. You could read the questions. You could do it over the phone with somebody if you need to do it. You know, just be bold and just try it. Just ask them and ask the questions. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for everybody watching these videos. God, I pray that your grace would be upon them. God, you'd give them great boldness. You'd give them just an ability to speak your word clearly. Lord, I pray that your grace and your strength, that you would send laborers into the harvest field, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Go make disciples. Go share the gospel. God will be with you.